Good, good. Okay, everybody. Welcome, whether you're live or listening to the recording for our third get together for a mentorship experience. Super excited to get to work in this way with y'all. We've got some cool questions to dive into, so I'm going to boot those up, go through those first, and then as I'm answering them, you might notice that there's follow-up questions related to what it is I got said, which is always really normal. Or you might get something totally not related and tangential that pops up. So if that happens while I'm chatting, simply just make a note of it, write it down, because we don't want to forget about it and not have have that need get met for you. We'll see how we go on questions. I do have something as well prepared to dive into if the questions get blown through really quickly. We'll do it at some point, whether it's this get together or our next one or the one after that, wherever there's space for it to pop up. Just like in body talk, nothing's ever linear, neither are these. So we'll work with a priority or whatever's popping up before us. If you're all going through lots of meltdowns, and that's probably not the time for me necessarily to be introducing some new left brain material, but rather giving us the opportunity to explore that and work through that. So always happy to do that live on these calls. And then what's interesting is when we work in groups in that way, then when one person is going through that, usually other people are too in some way, shape, or form. They just haven't necessarily thought about it in those precise words, but they're able to relate to it and shift from it just by working through it vicariously. Okay? So don't think that, oh, this is just for me, or I don't want to hog the group time. I promise you, what you're chewing on is what other people are chewing on as well. So it always has bearing across the board without fail. I've been doing group work like this for well over a decade, and that's the observation that seems to be very consistent so far. Haven't noticed any exceptions to date, and if I do, I might change things up. But till then, we're going to keep working with that understanding. Okay. So this question from Nancy is awesome. Can you talk about your transition into building body talk into a full-time business? And related to that, the second question is three obstacles that you encountered and how you overcame them. Thanks in advance. All right. So this was actually a really hard question for me in the sense that I had to go back and think about it. And I was like, hey, what the hell happened in that time frame? And which is always a good sign because it probably means that any sort of active memories I had around that time frame have been addressed because I had to really struggle to even remember that time frame, what it is I was chewing on. So, and it's not that there wasn't obstacles or, you know, what felt like, sometimes getting splinters underneath my fingernails and, you know, nails on a chalkboard kind of metaphors here. So the first one that I would say that I encountered along the way was finding my voice, whether that was being able to do a public presentation, whether that was finding my voice in going to all places on the charts, because, I mean, let's face facts. We all have spots in the chart that we love, and we all have spots in the chart that we go, please don't come up, please don't come up, please don't come up, please don't come up. Yeah. So getting comfortable with going to those things, as well as being able to say those things that I thought sounded like a bit of a bitch slap to the person on the table. So having to say the things that were difficult to say, and being able to do it from a place of neutrality so that way it could be well received and do my client a service rather than just trigger them and not actually address what was being triggered with that particular phrase. So finding my voice to deal with the public speaking is actually a really cool story. I had been working through it mostly with actually just receiving body talk sessions at that time, and it was also related to a couple of cool stories, though, towards the end that came up in my body talk session. And when I was born with a cleft lip and palate, so my lip was split open, as was the roof of my mouth. And when mom was giving birth, I was her first, so she had nothing else to compare it to. And she also had nobody else in the delivery room with her, because it was the plan to take dad, but dad was a firefighter and he was working nights, so they maybe could have come up with a better plan than that. But anyways, I digress. And the ward was slammed. So there was a ton of babies being born. The nurses were scattered far and few between. So my mom got stuck with a new nurse. So when I came out, the new nurse kind of freaked out because she had never seen or heard of really a cleft lip and palate baby other than maybe, you know, that one day in school where they talked about it briefly kind of a thing. And she went, "Oh my God, there's something wrong with your baby." Every mom loves to hear those words, right? So she was instantaneously panicking as well. And that's how I related having to express myself in any new beginning was the association for me. So anytime I went to go teach something or start teaching something, like in fundamentals, and as you can appreciate, there's a lot of start stop in that course. So every time there was a new topic, there was these first 2 minutes of kind of panic. And if I could just power through that, which I did for a couple of years, then I was fine. But I was really tired of having to power through that. It was exhausting and it just didn't need to be that way. So this session addressed that particular active memory of how it is I was perceived for the first couple of minutes. Interesting that story that after a couple of minutes, a more experienced nurse came in, saw what was happening and calmed everybody right the hell down and said, "This is a non-thing. You know, we addressed this with an easy surgery or two along the way, and babies, instead of breastfeeding, they get fed with a bottle that has a very special type of nipple attachment." So it became a non-thing. And that seems to also relate to my experience of, again, panicking for those first minute or two, and then things calming down right after that. So a pretty cool active memory with that one. So that was kind of a neat thing. I always think of that when it comes to addressing public speaking. Other things came up before that, of course, because anything to do with public speaking was pretty much terrifying. And a lot of that, in part, and I'm dovetailing as well into a, sort of a second point before really finishing my first one, so forgive me as I skip around a little bit, was around thinking that I had to sell people. And the thought of being like any sort of car salesman-y, sleazy salesperson of any sort made me want to vomit and pass out all at the same time, and I didn't even really care which came first. So what I did in my mind is I said, okay, well, what do you do that you love? It sure as hell isn't selling shit. So what is it that you love? And turns out I love teaching. I know, you're all shocked. By that point, I had already been teaching for well over a decade in aquatics, and I had actually been teaching people how to teach and examining instructors and all that jazz. So I had a passion for teaching. I didn't want to be like a school teacher because that material didn't fascinate me, but I wanted to teach things that I loved. So I always knew whatever I was going to do, I was going to teach. So I thought, okay, instead of selling anything, like trying to get clients in by selling them on this, I would simply do presentations where I would educate them. I would put the dots so close together that they could see the only real logical outcome from that was to sign up for a body talk session. And my favorite thing about those presentations that I did in my first couple of years is I had people ask great questions that forced me to become more clear on the logic that I was using. So if I could get even more clear and more logical those associations and get those dots even closer together, then I could educate people even better. So the thing that I did was really welcome people's questions to go, okay, well, where's the hole, or where do people's thoughts go to? Where do their thinking go to, and their patterns go to? When we talk about these sorts of things, and I would see the commonalities, and then I would know, okay, don't even wait for that question to come up. Let's just answer that question before it comes up. So I would set people up to have that question in introducing certain facts. And then of course they would all be like, ooh, let me ask that question. And the next thing I said would of course answer that question. So it worked out really well. The explanation that I most loved to use on how to explain body talk is still the one that I use today. You can check it out on vibranttransformation.com. If you go to About Body Talk, you'll see all the videos. Those videos are my public presentation. I just happened to film one of them. They're also, if you took fundamentals with me and you recall those first 2 hours, which I'm sure is a bit of a blur, especially at this point for most of you, then know that it's also the same first 2 hours of any fundamentals course that I teach. So it's all the same material. And Just to elaborate a little bit further on that first point, finding my voice, public speaking issues. I talked about receiving body talk sessions. The other thing that I did, which was super cool around this time frame, was actually a little after I got rid of the public speaking fear, I would say, is I found a voice coach, which was so helpful, and it was one of the best things I've ever done for myself. To this day, I love it. I was always losing my voice from speaking all day long, and I had also been screaming inside of a noisy pool for well over a decade. So there was some physical trauma to the voice too. So I had to learn, which is why I went, to find my inner microphone of how do I hold my breath? Where do I put my energy to actually maintain volume without creating a strain in my voice? How can I do this in a way that gives me the most longevity for my voice? And when I say I went to a voice coach, most people think I was singing like scales and like traditional sort of Western music type of things. But I did my research, and luckily I found a voice coach who was super into yoga and really into things like mythology and the chakras and all the alternative things. And what her approach was to voice coaching was that of finding yoga inside your body. So we would work with moving my body before we even opened up the voice. And the movements that we used were primarily that of pelvic breathing, which we teach in free fall, a little bit of Mods 4-7 as well as it's touched on there. And then when the breath was open, when that inner channel for the center of my being was open sufficiently, then and only then, whether that took 2 minutes or 20 minutes of my 30-minute lesson to open up, would we go into making noise. And it was never expected to be a pretty noise. It was just what's here today. And we would make noises that resonated with different layers of each one of the four diaphragms is basically what it was equivocating to, because you don't just have one diaphragm, you have four. There's one at the top of your head, there's one in your base of your pelvis, there's your regular breathing diaphragm, there's one where your neck joins onto your spine. Sorry, your neck is part of your spine, where the neck joins onto the rib cage and that first rib and that comes off of it and the collarbone kind of area there. So she worked with being able to get me into my body and creating sensory awareness. So happens that she also did a lot of work with Sanskrit chanting, and at that same time, I happened to be doing my yoga instructor training as well as my breakthrough instructor training. So I was finding my voice on steroids in so many different ways through all of those means. And man, oh man, if I thought it was hard to say some of the things that I thought I had to say during body talk sessions, whoo, breakthrough. Okay, that's where I had to really learn that it was safe to trigger people to help them get into their awarenesses of their own triggers, and then in turn to help them to heal. And to just be okay with that took a while. Finding my voice was a big part of that process. So I'd say that was one of my biggest obstacles was finding that voice. And I still see it today in clinic, and not as much as I used to, because it's not quite as strong of a mirror for me as it used to be. But our culture, period. If we compare men and women, men's voices tend to overall be decently open, and women's just don't compare to any stretch of the imagination. There's often higher rates as a result of that of thyroid cancer in women, if you look at the stats for women versus men. Yeah. But I digress. I'm getting a little bit off point. Let me come back. All right. So the voice, thinking I had to be a salesman, were the first two. And then there's likely a lot I could talk about here, to be honest with you, but for three, these are the three that came up as the priority to mention. So the third one was how to build awareness of body talk in my local area, because no one else was really doing it at that point in time. There had been a couple of people who had done it, but nobody was really currently doing it a whole lot. They were doing other things and they were interested in becoming like homeopathic practitioners, and that consumed all of their time, sort of thing. Or someone was doing it kind of on the side with mostly massage. So it wasn't anybody's full-time practice, so to speak, at that time. They were always doing a ton of other modalities with it. And well, I had quickly become a body talk purist. So that was my major focus. And I thought, okay, well, how do I build this up? How do I get more? And I recall John talking about if you want to open up a chiropractic business, open it up across from an already well-established, really busy chiropractic office in that same city, because that's where the energy for it is. Think of hotels in cities. They always, whether they're on the outskirts of town or in downtown, they always clump together. They're not spread out, right? So it was, okay, how do I get more people like me doing what it is I'm doing, so that way I have A, good company, and B, I have more than just me talking about this and spreading the word. So I thought, okay, well, the best way I could do that is to become an instructor. And again, I love to teach, so that was a no-brainer. But until that time, I was like, okay, I still need to get things rolling here. So let me coordinate courses. So the best thing that I did to build awareness was actually to get the ball rolling by coordinating courses in my area. So I brought in instructors to teach the things that I was training to teach in, even though, I could have been teaching those people just a few months later. It was really about just building up the energy for me. So that was kind of unique, I was told at the time, because I wasn't coming from that scarcity type of thinking of like, oh gosh, I have to save these students for when I teach. It was funny because that thought actually hadn't even crossed my mind until some of the instructors that I was coordinating for pointed it out. And I was like, oh yeah, I guess, didn't think about it. So the coordination also lended an air of me being more involved in what it is I was doing, and it prepared me for building a business as an instructor. And the coordination also gave me the connections to other people who, when someone said, okay, you should try a body talk session in this area, people would just think, oh, well, okay, who's really involved and committed to body talk in that area? There isn't anybody teaching here, but there's a coordinator here, and boom, they think of me. So that built my business just because I dove in with, well, both feet and whole body and two hands and every other metaphor you can think of here. So I dove solidly into the deep end and didn't look back. And that meant not necessarily a whole lot of work-life balance. I don't necessarily recommend doing it to that extent per se, but live and learn. And I'm actually going to digress on that point because, again, I'm going to go off into a tangent. So I'll catch myself here. Now, I'm actually going to talk about one more. So she asked for three, but I'm going to say a fourth as well. Okay. And this is the answer that's not an answer. So it's not truly in line with where the spirit of the question is coming from, but I think it's a really important point to make. So let me address it. Okay. So the fourth one was thinking that I had obstacles where there actually weren't any. And this is a really important thing to address, and it's a really big thing. I see practitioner after practitioner of body talk, instructor after instructor of body talk, fall into some variation of, man, I'm super fucked up. There's something really super wrong. I've got to fix it. But what if there isn't anything wrong? What if there's nothing that's blocking you? What if there isn't an obstacle? What if the thing that you most need to do to transcend that is to let go of the concept of obstacles existing in the first place? So when you come to it from that place, it puts everything into perspective. It doesn't mean there still aren't things that you have to do, practically speaking. However, it also gets out of the mode of self-blame and self-doubt and self-pity and self. What if there's nothing wrong? So it actually reminds me of an article that I wrote. I think it's on my website. It's probably underneath About Body Talk. And the article is, Am I Really Broken? So you could equally substitute in a new title for that of, Am I Really Blocked? Am I really being thwarted by something in my universe? Is there really something wrong with me? Lots of titles of variations of that. But the title of the article is, Are You Really Broken? I'm sure it's up on the website. If I can find it, if there's interest, let me know and I can just copy and paste it up to the Facebook page. If you're curious and you want more, let me know. So overall, that transition into building Body Talk into a full-time business, it kind of happened despite me, because I was just so on fire for wanting to learn about myself and becoming really self-aware. So finding my voice was for me. It just happened to translate into a lot of things about my Body Talk business. Studying Prama Body Talk or studying that next course in Body Talk was always for me. But it always translated into building business. Then, interestingly enough, when I ran out of things to do that were practical, taking time off was the thing that built my business. And it's still the thing today that is an ongoing work in progress that I'm always learning about. And I always revisit this theme of, okay, when I take down time, I open up space for, think of it as like creative cocooning. For something new to manifest and grow. And that has probably not been the obstacle that I faced at the beginning of building my Body Talk business, but I'd say it's the obstacle that I face in maintaining as well as growing in different directions, especially if there's something new that I'm doing. It seems to require just a little bit more downtime, especially these days. And there is often this fear that happens after a while of if I'm not busy doing something, I'm probably not doing anything right. So that's an interesting thing to cotton on to, that we always have to be busy doing something, which is very much of our culture. It's very much in our line of thinking in this day and age. And that's how one gets success, isn't it? By being busy and doing shit. And the awareness for stillness, creating more space and actually giving me much more success was one that I tripped into. I was quite sick and needed some downtime, so I took it and my business skyrocketed. And that happens each and every time. Even if I just take a day off, I carve out time. Odds are that's the day when a couple people register for another course somewhere. Without fail, and so I get that reminder constantly. The importance of downtime, to balance that all out. Okay, I'm not sure how many things we're at. That's probably a lot more than three now. but since you're right here with me right now, Nancy, anything else I can do to add to that, or any other sort of questions that came up with any of that?
No, that's great.
Good.
I like it.
Okay. Good,
I
good.
like the am I really broken or blocked? I like that.
Yeah, is there anything really wrong? Maybe it's just the thinking of it that has us all twisted up. So there has to be. God, who are we without our problems, anyways? Okay, love. So I know that you also asked me another question related to that. Not necessarily related, but kind of. How does one get clientele? How do you get clientele in the first place? So I would be remiss if I didn't all point you in the direction of on the Body Talk students area page, all my study groups have been recorded, and I spend 2 hours talking about and doing sessions on building business, maintaining clients, and etc. So that'll go into a whole lot more detail than I can do it justice right now. But know that those recordings are from November and December of 2013. So there's a lot of scrolling that you have to do. A reminder, how you get into the students area is, again, head to my website, vibranttransformation.com. On the far right area of the menu, the right-hand side, is the tab students area. You click on that. That'll take you to two options for free fall students and body talk students. Click on the body talk students one. And then at only that point in time will it ask you for the page password. So up will pop a thing saying, that page is password protected. What's your password? The password for that is BT as in like body talk, FUN as in fundamental, so BT fun with WITH Ellison, ALLISON. And it's all one word, no caps, no spaces. If there's a capital letter, if there's a space, it won't work. So BTFUNWITHALLISON. You enter that, and it'll take you to a whole schwackload of goodies. That's a technical term. And we've got in there all the recordings that, well, not actually of all the study groups I've ever done, because I didn't used to record them, but for at least 3-4 years, and it's ongoing. If you have questions that are specifically around, like, how do I do this in body talk, by all means, send those questions in, and you can get those answered. So it's not a live call anymore. I was finding that way more people were listening to the recording. I would get tons of notes after the recording was posted, but I'd only get one or two people live. So now I'm just sort of working around the rest of my schedule in that day. The next one is coming up, I want to say October 17th. Ish, heavy on the ish. The schedule for all of them, though, are up on that same page, so you can check that out there. Just get your questions in, and I will happily answer anything that you want to learn about for that. And I might, if you ask a question that's already been answered, point you in the direction of another study group and say, I talked about that here, or I'll say, I can't remember where I talked about it, which is probably more likely for me to say. But go scroll through and just look for the topic line of reciprocals, explanation, or one-liners, and it'll give you there. There is a ton of really juicy study groups. Some of the favorite ones are where I brainstormed for about a half an hour different permission statements. There's one where I went through and gave you a one-liner for every one of the techniques on the protocol chart that we cover in fundamentals. And there's another one on the consciousnesses of all the different reciprocals. So by all means, happily dive into that. There's a lot of other goodies in there too. Those aren't the only things that are on that page. There's a lot more besides study groups, so feel free to explore that. There are things like emotion words, there's an example of how to do a body talk session, etc. Okay, so all that's there for you. Okay, so how do I get clientele? The non-2-hour answer is, in my experience, and I asked this question when I first started body talk, and I asked it of people who I knew had a busy practice and were, you know, quite successful in their practice. And I got this answer, which was typically not paying for advertising. That didn't seem to work really well for anybody. Body talk has always been more of a word of mouth process and a sort of a grassroots movement kind of a thing than it has been a dominate through paid ads kind of a thing so far. In terms of that, what seemed to work well and where I get most of my business from to this day is something like a website and social media. It used to be more social media and now more website, probably because I've had a website that's been maintained and steadily so, consistently so, for several years now. Whereas before, I only had websites that were for groups of people. I didn't have my own personalized website. I was too busy making websites for all the body talkers that I was for myself. So I did that. So website and social media is, I would say, somewhere in the neighborhood of 40-50% of where I primarily get the majority of my clientele from. And they're basically free. Social media is free. Get an account. Go on Facebook. Go on Instagram. Get over your shit about Facebook or Instagram if you have shit about Facebook or Instagram. Sometimes people do. Use it as a tool. It's meant to be a tool. So get a session, do what you need to do to get over your shit about it, and get on social media, post regularly, create a page, and That could be of any sort of things that you want to post about. So you get to make it your own and experiment and have it be your own. And then the other thing that is basically free is that website that I mentioned. So if you go to Wix.com or Weebly.com, you can throw together something for pretty darn cheap for basically the cost of a domain name and hosting, which is like basically dirt cheap these days. It didn't used to be, but it sure is now. Okay. So for next to nothing, you have some strong resources out there. You don't have to have anything fancy, just a simple Wix or Weebly.com website. Copy and paste some stuff. Literally steal stuff. Don't reinvent the wheel. You're welcome to just take anything off of my website or change up a word or two. You don't have to even ask. You don't have to credit me. You're welcome to, not required. And you can put any of that information from the student section of the website, or that's just posted in different spots on my website or even my YouTube videos. Whatever you want to use to post there, please just use them and post them. Okay. And then for the other aspects besides online stuff, the big thing that I did for a long time that I would say I got at least 30-40% of my business income through that was public presentations. So when I got told that, that began my journey of finding my voice and getting over my public speaking shit, because that idea gave me a lot of pause. And I thought, holy hell, really? I don't know. What would I say? How would I do this? What does that look like? Yeah. So I watched John's presentations on Body Talk. I threw together my own. I've got the outline of that up on the About Body Talk videos. So feel free to check those out. And then the last piece, besides public presentations, was word of mouth. So it meant just doing a really good job and getting return clientele. And a really good job isn't skill related. They don't know your skill. They don't know how good you are in terms of how many courses you've had or how many sessions you've done or how much experience you have. Doing a really good job is the basics of being professional. So meeting people at the door and making sure that you're dressed appropriately, meeting people at the door with a smile on your face, and meeting people at the door, especially if they have no idea where they're going, and having the door open before they even get there. Be prepared, be ready. To doing a really good job really basically means your mindset. So we talked about mindset, was it in our last one, I think 2 weeks ago? The importance of that is paramount. They're not going to know if you didn't quite explain Cordyceps right. They have no frame of reference. It does not matter. You're the expert in the field. You could do any sort of session, and honestly, people are going to get something from it. For starters, they're horizontal on a massage table, which is amazing and healing in and of itself. Somebody's touching them, incredibly healing. Somebody's focusing on them and listening to them, because before they lay down for a session, they should be talking about what's going on. Unless they are just like, no, I have nothing to say, which is fine. But for the most part, people have something to say. Listen to them. It's not necessarily important to the session. It's important that they have the experience of being heard and not being dismissed. This might be the first time that they've ever actually felt listened to. That kind of attention and focus and observation, tremendously healing. That alone accounts for probably a big percentage of our results. Okay, so meet people where they're at. You don't have to be an expert. You don't have to know. You don't have to be certified. I mean, you can definitely be working towards certification. If you're opening up a business, it's highly recommended that you do so, but you don't have to wait till you're certified to get a few bums into the seats or laying down on your tables, as it were, and go from it from there and just have fun playing with it. Every session, you're going to be better at the end of it than you were at the beginning of it. You're going to have learned something new. And if you just improve 1% from every session, fucking phenomenal. Okay? It will not take long before you're 1,000% better. So hang on, what was I talking about? How do I get clientele? There we go. Back on track. So those were the three main things. Have an online presence. That wasn't as big for me initially. So I'd say in my initial days, I was really only about 20%. Now it's about 40 to 50%. public presentations. It's been about 40% in the past. I don't do as much of them anymore. I just have my videos online, which is the equivalent of my public presentation now. People can watch the videos. And I've had, a few people follow them on YouTube. We've had a few derogatory comments on YouTube, which is always a sign that you've made it to some level of, awareness. It's out there enough that people are criticizing it, so that's always a good sign. That's probably a really good take-home message for everybody. When you start to get feedback that's a bit critical from people, it's a good sign that you're definitely in the arena of success and building in the direction that you want to be. It doesn't have to happen, but we often see that it does happen. So just to mention it, it's not a bad sign. If you get it, celebrate it. It's an awesome experience to also work through any buttons that are related to that all. Okay, cool. And then let me just check in with you, Nancy. How's that to begin with?
It's awesome.
Okay, good. And then your third question was, what's the difference between free fall and breakthrough? Yeah? Okay. So the process of how we do it is different. Ultimately, we're getting to the same sorts of things, just in very different ways. So breakthrough looks like you're sitting and you are being led through the steps to come up with a story where there's an overreaction on your part. And related to that, you then go through to figure out what are the underlying emotions, belief systems, identities, motives, etc. So through that process, there's also it's not really called forgiveness anymore, depending upon when you've learned breakthrough, if you've taken breakthrough. Know that it's changed a little bit, so it's not so much forgiveness, it's more about the concept of releasing yourself. There's also a part where you step behind your behaviors to see them as what they are, simply a coping mechanism to try to get your needs met. So there's that process, and then through the belief systems that it highlights, then you can continue to observe those on an ongoing basis for yourselves when they pop up, and you can see them for exactly what they are. I did a breakthrough for somebody, it was about a week and a half ago now, and the big take-home belief system was, I judge judgments. Yeah, when we judge judgment, then we're sure to always be in a state of judgment to some extent. Yeah. And with that, there was the experience that she had with somebody on social media, actually, who she felt was judging her. And then 2 weeks later, that person ended up in her classroom. And she said it was like butter. It was so easy to work with their concerns and their points because she could see it just for what it was and get behind any judgment and just meet them where they were at, give them the information that they were actually after. So by comparison, free fall is not so stationary. There's movement. The three principles behind free fall are that we work with your breath, your movements, your sounds. In my personal experience, I consider a one free fall mirror exercise to be the equivalent, I don't even know exactly, but of many breakthrough sessions. And that's just my personal experience. So other people might say different things. The awareness of what's happening may not be conscious necessarily in free fall right away. It might pop later on. It might not be ever present because it may not need to be present consciously. 90% of our psyche isn't conscious. So we can process on a not conscious level and still release things and effectively move through them. It's not about understanding every little thing that's connected to it. It's about simply releasing it and letting the shit go. So John explains one free fall experience as the equivalent of somewhere between 1 to 500 body talk sessions. Mm-hmm. So if you do the math on that, we should all be running for dollar value alone to free fall courses left, right, and center. They carry a profound opportunity to change and transform. There's a lot there for sure. Okay. Free fall experiences are done without clothing. I hope that's not new information to anybody. Otherwise, we have a lot more to talk about free fall. Let me know. And it's done as a metaphor. It has nothing to do with your clothing or not. I've had people go, oh, I can hardly wait to get my clothes off. Well, those might be the people that I say, okay, we're probably going to make you keep your clothes on all weekend then, because this has nothing to do with clothing. It's naked in your soul. Mm-hmm. That's the metaphor. Mm-hmm. All right. Wow, I've been talking lots about that. I just noticed the time. There you go, English. Okay. Any more on that, Nancy?
No, thanks for answering.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay, any other questions that popped up, related or not related? Nope, not right now. Let me know if something does. All right, Courtney, you brought up some really juicy, yummy stuff. So I'm so excited as well to dive into the points and the questions that you have here. So I'll just summarize in case you didn't all get a chance to check out the Facebook page before this call and listening to it. And so Courtney posts, here we go, having individuality. Is it vital in business and or in life in general? So I know that in body talk it's important to realize that we are all one. Is it just as important to have your own individuality, to separate yourself in some ways? So the understanding of body talk is that we're all one, but that doesn't mean that we're all exactly the same. We're just all connected. We're just different outpocketings or expressions of that oneness. We just all look like individual snowflakes. At the root of that, yes, we're all the same. And at the external surface of that, we're all completely different. And there's no two alike. So we're all already separate. And here's the bit of the mind fuck for that philosophy. In order for wholeness to be whole, it also has to embrace separation. In order for wholeness to be whole, it has to embrace separation. What was that, Courtney?
That's beautiful. It's totally...
Good. So,
can you repeat one more time?
In order for wholeness to be whole, it has to embrace separation. It's not separate, ironically speaking. Separation isn't even separate. That's just a part of the whole. And we don't have to have or strive or efforts for individuality. You're already just automatically are that way. So to have a sense of individuality is actually a less about doing and more about undoing. It's more about getting behind all those masks that you think that are making you like everybody else. So we usually strive for those often in our childhood, teenage years, early adulthood years to blend in, to not stand out. And then we go, oh my God, the weight of these is crippling. How the fuck do I even find myself? Who am I? Motherfucker. Man, I swear a lot tonight when I do these things. So that weight becomes so crippling and burdensome that we need to pop ourselves out of it. So we think that we have to do something to become individual again. Yet ironically, there's nothing to actually do. We already are individual. It's already there. It's your natural state. As is being whole. Mm-hmm. And you're both of those things all at the same time. Which again is a bit of the mindfuck, a paradox. Welcome to consciousness. Consciousness is paradoxical. Mm-hmm. So how can we be whole and separate all at the same time? We're going to come back to that in just a moment. I'm going to make a note of that. How can we be whole and separate all at the same time? Okay, so stay tuned for that. Okay. And then related to this, and I want to talk about this point before we get to that question that I just mentioned of how can we be whole and separate all at the same time. Hey, Courtney also asks on the Facebook page, separating myself from others, thoughts, feelings, and emotions. How do I know where I end and another begins? I've been doing a lot of exploring on this, and I find when I'm in tune with myself and I don't take anybody else's actions, words, thoughts to heart, life seems like it isn't filled with stress, and I can see my goals and dreams clearly. Guess I'm looking for an easy button, like the I always think of like that Staples button when I read that, and the Staples easy button. If you don't know what that means, because they don't have those commercials in your country, just forget that. And a straight cut answer to follow. But after writing this out, I realize I'm aware of this now, and body talk always seems to be the answer for me. Another reason why I'm so passionate about my goal. So I need to write this down, get it out. Funny, because I've been trying to figure out more of an action plan. Journaling is now part of my action plan and my check-ins, LOL. All right. So awesome. I love journaling. It's a great way to get all that stuff that's just rolling around in our head and empty that basket of things and stuff and to-do lists and expectations and ideas and just get it out. Yeah. Just last night, I was like, hey, Dave, I just have to vent. And he's like, okay, because he's amazing at that. And it wasn't about anything. There was nothing wrong. And I just literally chattered for about 10 minutes straight. And it was funny because at the end of that 10 minutes, I was asleep inside of about 30 seconds. So it was all brr, 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 and then. And because Dave's super gracious, he would say things like, hey, anything more about that? I'd go, yeah, and this, and this, and this. And I got it all out of my system. And I was so relaxed at the end of that, I had the best sleep. I was literally asleep inside of 30 seconds, and I had the best sleep last night. I can't even tell you. So good. Journaling is another way to get that all out of your head. And if it just floats around there, it can cause all sorts of chaos. So always really great to get it out rather than having to think that you need to perseverate. Just rethink and rethink and rethink about those things. Okay. So the two questions are somewhat related. So she asks, how do I know where I end and another begins? Which is very similar to how can we be whole and separate all at the same time? Okay, just two slightly different variations of really the same question. So if you resonate with more than one or the other, don't worry about it. We're going to explore it here. All right, so know that you're welcome to do this along with Courtney. I'm just going to work with her one-on-one with this, but it doesn't mean that you're not also doing all these same things and working through that same stuff. So let's explore some more. Ready, Courtney?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. Okay, so let's begin here by means of breathing. Take some slow, deep inhales and exhales, and just use these first 30 seconds or so to focus in on yourself. So using that time, think of every breath as an opportunity to release, let go, to-do lists, ideas, thoughts, expectations. Okay. Now, placing a hand on heart, two hands is also an option, whatever feels right for you. Just go inside your body here, Courtney. And using every breath to go even deeper into that heart and feel your body relax even more. And let me know when you're ready.
I'm ready.
Okay. So I have a simple question, and whatever comes to mind is fine. So just say anything, even if it doesn't make sense or logical. Okay. Who are you? In a word, who are you? I'm a girl. So the concept of girl is only something that our senses and our mind can grasp onto because it can identify it as something outside of ourselves. We can look to use our senses to point much like, well, cancel the much like. We can use our senses to point to these concepts of girl, and anytime there's a concept, we know that that's something that we cannot be. So, for example, we could use our senses to see a TV or a computer in our environment, and we know that we cannot be those things. They're just simply the concepts that are external to us. So if you can come up with a concept of anything, it's not who you are. Who we really are is beyond labels. Having said that, there's usually a lot of mental thoughts and ideas about who it is we really are. So let's explore a little bit deeper now. Okay, so I'm a girl. So now go underneath that. And again, knowing that that's not who you really are, answering the same question again. Who are you?
Love.
Love. Great. So again, it's a concept. The mind can form an idea around it. It's a label. It's not really who you are. So step behind love. Who are you really?
Light.
Okay, cool. So you are light. Light is a concept. Can't be a concept. Not who you are. Step behind light. Who are you here? Who are you really?
Anything other than a concept now that you.
Hey, here's where we have some fun. Anything other than a concept is also a concept.
Yes, it is.
So you can see the layers of all the mind stuff that boots up here, hey?
Yeah.
So the process of this is referred to as neti neti, like neti pot, N-E-T-I, N-E-T-I. This is not who I am, this is not who I am, or it's the practice of discovering who you are not. So in Advaita Vedanta, they would say you can't know who you are. All you can do is become conscious and aware of who you are not to experience who you really are. So given this experience so far, Courtney, let's just try this on for size. Can you truly be whole, or is whole a concept?
Whole is a concept too.
Yeah, so just feel that in your body. And imagine you can step underneath, behind the concept of whole. What's here? How does that feel?
Feels like trying to, like a heavy feeling.
A heavy feeling.
Trying to step behind it.
Yeah, cool. Now, just stick with that or hold on to that. We're going to press pause button there. Now let's also play with separation. So imagine the concept of separation. Imagine you can feel that in your body. And step behind it. What's here when you step behind?
I almost get a feeling of butter.
A feeling of butter?
Butterflies.
Oh, butterflies.
That's what it feels like.
I was like, I can feel you on butter. I love butter. Okay. I love butterflies too. Clearly, it's my logo. Okay, so butterflies. So now imagine that these two experiences can come together. So let the butterflies meet the heaviness. Watch what happens. What do you notice here?
Feels like home.
cool. It feels like home. From this place, ask yourself, how do I know where I end and another begins?
I go here.
Yeah, and you may even notice that question sort of changes or shifts or disappears when you hang out here long enough. Because this place of home is really the experience of being.
I love that. I love this.
Me too. So if that feels right for you, you're welcome to go ahead and just tap that in, that awareness, tapping over head, heart, and gut brain. And so this is as practically available as possible to everybody, this place of coming home, or whatever your words were for any of these experiences. Let's find a way to be able to reconnect readily and easily to this. So for some of you, you may have already done Mindscape or Advanced Mindscape, and you know that we can have a neuronal connection to being able to access a state instantaneously. So we're going to play with that. Don't worry if you haven't done Mindscape or Advanced Mindscape. It sounds like it's a lot more complicated than it is. It's really super easy, though. Imagine, just close your eyes and see what comes to your hands. Let them move in a way that's natural to you. What's one really simple, easy movement of either a finger or your whole hand that would represent this particular state or this particular connection to being home? Everyone find that for yourselves. Take a minute and just let your hands move naturally all on their own. Over time, it can change. And I know that for myself, my Mindscape trigger to get in for my neurological trigger is different now than when it used to be. So just see what comes and know that can over time, of course, change. So don't get too attached to it. But just find something that works for you for right now. No right or wrong. Then when you've got it, tune into that state of being, I'll use Courtney's word, but you substitute in your own, being at home with all five senses. Imagine that you can see this state of being at home. And do your finger or hand movement, your trigger. This one might be a bit more challenging, that's okay. Listen to what it sounds like here. And when you've got some sort of connection through the sense of hearing, again, use your trigger. And now taste what it feels like to be here. I always say feel because that's my strongest sense. Taste what it's like to be here. And there might not be a taste that's in your conscious awareness. That's fine. It's the act of observation that is doing all this work for us. So it's just important to place your attention here. Imagine that there could be a taste. And again, use your neurological trigger. smell this place? What does it smell like? What smell could it have? And again, use your neurological trigger here. Last but not least, what does it feel like to be here? When you've got a sense of that, activate your neurological trigger. And now imagine that all five senses can connect to the hearts. And if you haven't already still got it there, place at least one, if not two, hands back on that heart. And again, activate the trigger. Cool beans. Let's tap that in if that feels right for you. Again, tapping over head brain, heart brain, gut brain. Okay. So know that you can use that same neurological trigger to access that state. Neuronal pathways build. They're not just instantaneously created. So the more that you use that, the more it can anchor you. So I'm making it a practice of at least once a day for the next week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, the more weeks, the better, really, here, to activate that, to allow for you to continue to connect to this place. Over time, your senses are going to interpret it different because it's going to become more familiar. It may not always feel quite the same way that it does to you in this moment, because again, sensory adaptation occurs as that neurological pathway gets built. So you may notice that it becomes even more pronounced, even more profound, richer, deeper. Or sometimes it can go the other way, and it's just like, well, yeah, and that becomes your new normal. It doesn't feel like it's a big deal anymore. Because now there's another layer to address, is what that points to. You can wire that all in. Again, the more we do it, the more pronounced it can become. Okay, questions, comments, queries on that?
Thanks, Courtney, for sharing. I had very similar sensations. It felt like I went to the same place.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, just in case the recording couldn't pick it up, I'll paraphrase. So Nancy was sharing. thank you to Courtney for contributing that and going through that process. So she was feeling similar things along the way. So that's such a neat thing. We're all in this together.
Cool.
Yeah. Any other questions or follow-ups from any of that, Courtney?
No, I just, how much I love this work, and it was exactly what. So
cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I'm happy it was providing you with exactly what it is you're after. So for our time together, it looks like it's kind of wrapping up. We have just a couple of minutes to use if you want. And even if you don't want, I'm going to recommend that we play with diaphragm to intestines for ourselves. So I've been getting some information from you guys all in different ways, whether that's privately or on the Facebook page. You can use diaphragm to intestines to help work through any sort of layers of emotional processing coming up for you as they're coming up. So know that that's something that we can do at any time. You never have to ask a yes or no question. You can just automatically go ahead and do diaphragm to intestines. And as you tap that in, I like to do it physically where I'm sweeping my hand from my diaphragm to my intestines and then tapping that in. My hands can do two different things at the same time. Thank you, Mom and Dad, for 17 years of organ lessons. Yay. Maybe not quite 17, but darn close. Hands can also separate out the movements, so you can sweep and then tap. And what that's going to do is let you move through things rather than wallow or stagnate or feel like you get weighed down in one particular state of being. And we often forget about diaphragm to intestines. So a really strong reminder, I promise you, you'll all need it at some point in these next 2 weeks if you don't already need it like right now. So feel free to do that at least once in the next 2 weeks, if not daily for the next 2 weeks. Use it kind of like we would do cortices for yourselves, just to help shift and anchor the changes that are occurring for everybody. So consider that to be your quote-unquote homework, diaphragm to intestines. And probably the less you feel like doing it, the more you probably need it. Sometimes that can... When that happens, it's addressing often the emotions around apathy. So we just go, I don't really want to. That's probably a sign that you need it. And actually, that's a really good obstacle I remember facing too from way back when is, and this was long before body talk too, but I know for a fact for myself, the less I feel like doing something, probably the more I need to do that very thing. So I just learned over time to just go do that thing. And it got easier and easier to pull myself out of that state of apathy. All right. So that's your homework till we meet again. Also, any follow-up questions from that? Anything else you want me to chat about? Please use this opportunity to its fullest. My brain is yours to pick. And everything that you're chewing on, again, know that everybody else is doing it in their own way. So please contribute and let me know what it is going on your end. And we'll by all means take care of it for not just you, but likely everybody and probably even me too. So because we're all here as a group for a reason. Huh? I do have a couple of new tools to introduce to you at some point, whether that's in our next session or the session after that. We'll see just whatever comes up as a priority to do. And there's going to continue to be a real strong focus on your questions and what it is you're just working through right now. And how can we help you with that? What's another tool that I can introduce to you to support you in your processing? All right, my loves, I am out of things to say, believe it or not. So we're going to sign off for now. And I look forward to chatting with you all probably before the next couple of weeks, because we seem to be doing that in one way or another, whether it's on the group page or privately. And yeah, thanks. I really love your participation. Keep it up. Appreciate that a lot. It's awesome that you're all coming out to play. Okay. Goodbye, everybody.
Thank you.